sports city in the world. Period. And this is Boston's home for the Bruins, Celtics, Patriots, and Revolution. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's T&R.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. There is a website that's out that, from a long time ago. I don't even know if it still works. But it's an extensive archive of when I did mornings in Atlanta. And I read this yesterday, but we did a bit called Fat Kid Goes Bananas. In fact, it was a kid on our show. It says, Girls Gone Wild came to shoot in Athens, Georgia. Fat Kid took the microphone and went to Georgia Tech and told girls he worked for Chicks Gone Bananas and asked girls if he could sniff their feet. And when they refused, he asked if they would kick him in the nuts and do other such things. After several refusals, he finally found a girl who let him do it. Brief discussion follows. Funny stuff. So I've been obsessed with weird fetishes. I just find them to be delightful. Feet make no sense to me.
That's why the Rex Ryan story was so great when it came out.
Oh, yeah. There was a Jenny Jones show where they had people with weird fetishes, and the guy liked feet, and he goes, I love feet. I love feet.
He just started singing
they
about it.
They just can't be beat.
Okay, well, that's odd.
I love feet. And feet's not even like a weird one. Like, feet is a fairly common one. And what they say is you like feet because you hang on to your mom's leg when you're a kid. And you feel, like, safe. So, like, the smell of feet and, like, the feel of pantyhose.
Weird.
Is, well, I mean, you know, these are the things that are ingrained in us.
Certain physical feet.
D.A. with his love of feet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But apparently D.A. said something recently about feet.
I wouldn't doubt it. Wouldn't doubt it at all. Mm-hmm. He was taking pictures of people's feet in studio. That's how he kind of did the whole thing, which is strange.
You got all 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, whoopsie-daisies. It seems like someone's ran off with your shoes.
Right. It's very, very creepy.
Perhaps an intern? So, this story I found to be delightful.
Now to an Eyewitness News exclusive. A man makes a disturbing discovery during a Father's Day meal in Queens. When he asked for a receipt for his order, he saw this message along with the usual meal request. It said, please spit in it, too. Eyewitness News reporter Stefan Kim spoke to the customer and the manager at that popular restaurant.
On a scorching hot summer night, what's better than a cold brew? Pair it with a juicy burger, cheddar cheese, well done, toasted bread, and...
Well, that's indeed what a hamburger is.
Please, let's tell the ingredients. Are there pickles? Please tell me there's pickles.
When the feet come into play. Now put all this in it, now crush it with your feet.
Just step on it, like the grape. People making wine.
Well done. A hint of mayo. Now, stomp.
On a scorching hot summer night, what's better than a cold brew? Pair it with a juicy burger, cheddar cheese, well done, toasted bread.
Who gets it well done?
Ugh. Toasted bread, and please spit in it too. Don't forget the mayo. Wait. Spit?
I eat my burger already, and I feel like I'm going to throw up.
In this exclusive interview with Eyewitness News.
But what an exclusive interview. All the other news stations are out in front of. Come on,
we gotta find the spit burger guy.
Find the spit burger guy.
Jesus. I feel like I'm gonna throw up.
In this exclusive interview with Eyewitness News, Curtis May says it all started because his order got mixed up. So he asked his waitress for the receipt, and that's when he noticed that extra ingredient.
I asked her. I was like, "Why would you do this?" She couldn't explain it. She's like, "Well, I didn't do it." So I was like, "Well, who prints out the receipt?" So she says, I take it up there and I print it out myself. So you're telling me you did it. So why are you lying about it? So she says, she just walked off.
The Seacliff man says he was being treated to a Father's Day dinner by his daughter and granddaughter at the Bohemian Hall and Beer Garden in Astoria when it happened. He says the evening started off pleasant.
She was very nice. She came up to the table. Hi, guys. How you doing?
May says the manager fired the waitress immediately, and he got a refund, of course.
He says, he's like, well, how can I compensate you? I was like, you can't. I mean, how can you compensate someone spitting in your food?
And you already ate this.
And I ate this already.
The manager tells Eyewitness News he had never had a problem with this employee before. Food service, he says, is a stressful job, but it was unacceptable. He adds that it's very unlikely a cook actually spat in the burger, but he understands why the customer is upset. By the way, the Bohemian Hall and Beer Garden has an A rating from the Department of Health. In Astoria, Stefan Kim, Channel 7. Eyewitness News.
It's good to know in New York City, even on Sundays, they have crappy field reporters.
I was gonna say, it doesn't sound quite like a New York City market reporter there.
Yeah, in the number one market in the country, they have crappy reporters.
So am I to believe that this guy was, in this woman's eyes, a jackass? So she puts, please spit in his burger. And then the ticket goes to the back. The guy eats it. Now, whether or not they spit in it. So and she gets fired immediately. So where's the fetish part of that?
Is that I believe that he made up the spit in the burger thing.
He asked them to put that like on there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. See, I don't think that that's probably what happened.
No, I think that it is what happened, and here's why. Is that I know when I was hanging out with strippers, there was one guy that would just want to play Monopoly. He would come to the strip club and buy a private room or rent a private room and play Monopoly with the dancer. There was another dancer I knew that, and this was in Boston, that just kicked guys. No, it was in Atlanta. That just kicked guys in the nuts.
Okay.
That they wanted just to be kicked in the nuts. I was at Mons Venus one time in Tampa, and there was a guy that just wanted to be kicked in the nuts. So I believe this guy, because by the way, there's no way it was on the ticket as like printed out, like instructions. Spit in it.
You see, I've seen that happen before. I've seen, like, there's been stories about how someone will put some nasty comment on a, like, a ticket that's ripping on whoever the customer is.
Yeah,
like,
but
that's happened before.
But it wouldn't be on the bill. It would be on the ticket that goes to the kitchen. So there's no way it's on the bill.
I think I've seen this happen on a bill before.
Nah, it's because there's a different ticket that goes to the kitchen.
I mean, you might be right, but
I'm 100% right. The ticket that goes to the kitchen doesn't have the prices and everything. It's just the food order, and then you put it up, and then you do them in order.
But I think both also list everything that you asked for. Like when you get, like, if you go to, like, you know, let's say McDonald's,
it doesn't have
like
the beverage,
no pickles or whatever.
No, it doesn't have the, yeah, fine, but it doesn't have the beverages on it. And why would you give the customer the receipt that went to the kitchen?
Well, I don't know, but
no,
I just think that this.
Here's what happened. Is that the guy went
the
in.
Guy asked, hey, could you please fit my burger?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The guy wrote himself or.
But he's with his family. And
yes.
And they're all like, dad just asking him to spit his burger again.
No, that's why he wrote it. Is that the kids were around. So he wrote like.
So he slipped him a note, slipped the waitress a note?
There's no way on the bill. The bill that you give a customer, that there's instructions. They you know that. I mean, how many, you go out to eat probably once a day.
Oh, I've gotten bills that break down what I asked for on my burger.
Yes, but not instructions of what you wanted on the hamburger.
Sure. Like hold the pickles and things like that. That's on the bill.
Where?
I know, just as a matter of fact, just this weekend, it was a fast food place. It wasn't a sit down restaurant, but I was at.
Yeah, fast food, fine. But a sit down restaurant, that doesn't happen. The instructions go to the kitchen. And by the way, no one's hand putting in, please spin the burger to a customer that's sitting there.
Well, I just don't think that they thought twice about him getting the receipt because he said he had to actually go up and
ask
for it.
You have to give the receipt to someone because they have to pay the bill.
Which is weird because
they never,
you're right, I'm with you, but he said he had to go up and ask for it.
Fine.
Which was strange.
But would he ask for the ticket to the kitchen?
I don't know. That's a great question. I have no idea.
Paul, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
What up, Paul?
Nothing. So I was listening, and I was in restaurants for about 25 years, and you guys are both right. So there is a different ticket that goes to the kitchen, but in a lot of these systems, the details that you type out on that system show up on the bill that you give the customer.
Okay, but why would I type in something on the bill that's spit in the hamburger if if I knew that it was going to go to the customer eventually. I mean, you know.
She could have put it in, that, you know, there are certain ones that do just go to the kitchen. She could have put it on the wrong, you know, on the wrong line when she typed in the details.
What's more likely, that she did that or that the man requested that the burger be sped in?
I mean, after hearing what the guy sounded like, I'm sure it was probably him just, you know, telling a tall tale, if you will.
Well, I'll tell you this, is a tall tale of humiliation.
I just love how that's the first thing you thought when you heard the story.
Oh, yeah.
Is that he asked the waitress, and if you could please spit in my burger, that would
yes,
be great.
Yes, of course. Well, you know what I know, Rich, is that there's an underbelly of society, and everyone has their own thing.
I've never heard of that kind of kink or whatever that is. That's a strange one. And by the way,
there's way worse ones.
I know there are, but that's
Mike from NoFX has been on stage. A friend of mine's band was playing with NoFX, and Fat Mike kept twitching. And what happened is that his wife, who's a dominatrix, had electrodes on his balls.
Okay.
In a device that could set him off while he was playing.
That is definitely odd.
So you're thinking that no one would ask anyone to spit in their food?
I've never heard of it.
I don't think DA.
I mean, you know, listen, could you step on my food first? I understand that. You know, I could see him possibly doing
spit
that.
Spit on it and step on it.
Sure. I mean, would you
S squared?
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Rex Ryan. Would you enjoy somebody stepping on your food?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
Greg, go ahead.
Yeah, so there's different receipts for different places. I was a bartender at like five different restaurants. If I wrote "guy in the red hat" or "fat guy," it would be on the bill, so people knew who to deliver the food to. Also, when different restaurants, sometimes you get an itemized receipt, and sometimes you just get the total. So right. If you wanted an itemized receipt, it would say right on it, spit on the guy's food.
Okay.
And a lot of people, so if I said, oh, and by the way, deliver him the food and kick him in the nuts, that would be on the bill too. Which I'm sure a lot of people ask for.
By the way, do you know that if you spit in someone's food, like let's say, I mean, you've seen it in movies where there's somebody who comes up who pisses them off and the guy in the back does something to taint the whatever they're going to give him, a hamburger or whatever, you could get 3 years in jail for that. As a matter of fact, there's a guy who in New Jersey did that. He actually spit on someone's
hepatitis.
Food. And ended up getting sentenced to 3 years. I don't think he served all three, but still, I mean, that's
no joke.
I never saw
anyone in a restaurant spitting food.
Has anybody ever seen that? Now, that
no,
because
no,
I,
no, 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 no. That's not what I want to do. I want to know the weirdest thing that you know someone has asked for.
Oh, in a restaurant. I like that.
No,
okay.
Not even in a restaurant. Just like...
At your place of work,
no.
What has been
no,
the strangest request
no,
you've received?
No.
In life.
What do you know that someone has asked for along that other people would think is disgusting?
I'm sure there are.
This is
are
kind of open and vague. I'm trying to.
Well, that's
I actually think it's rather. I think this request is rather specific. I think there are a lot of people who have answers to this.
No, the calls have to be vetted. But there, you know, is there someone who goes into your place and wants to play Monopoly with you? Is there someone who wants you to spit in the food? Is there, because I know a guy at a fried chicken restaurant that peed in the batter, but I was not there.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
So you knew that happened? Because I've always thought that was something, it was like as pissed as people would be,
that's never happened. When I worked at restaurants, I never saw anyone do any.
Me neither.
But, yes, this was when I was in high school. There was a kid that peed, and there was witnesses.
Are you kidding? Okay. Oh, that's awful. That's awful. I've heard of people dropping
some... I also know
some...
a guy that worked at Taco Bell that just took all the money out of the register and left. And
that's just straight up robbery.
But no, but like, you'll never
no
get
gray
caught.
Area there.
I wonder who this was.
Yeah, it's all on camera. He was the guy working the register, and that's an absolutely true story.
That's not,
he was on drugs, and he just took like all the money out of the register and walked away. And he was like, "What could go wrong?" It was at a food court in Birmingham, Michigan. All right, so
what are you asking now?
I am saying, what have you seen someone request in any scenario that others would deem to be odd?
Okay, 617-779-0980.
I got news for you. Phones are lighting up, man. You're not the only one who knows this.
See, I don't know. I think this is, like, so vague.
No, it's not.
This could go one way or another.
I don't know. It's not vague at all. I think this is perfect.
Someone wants their food spit in. Someone wants you to stomp on their food. It doesn't even have to be food. Someone plays Monopoly at the strip club. 617-779-0985.
Missed something? Be sure to like us on Facebook for great moments from the shows and breaking sports news. 98.5, The Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Late. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. A man in Queens, New York said he got a bill from a restaurant and it said that they spit in this guy's food.
The bill said, please spit in it when it had the ingredients in the burger.
Now, I believe that the man requested that.
Which I don't believe, but I've never heard of anyone thinking about that's. It's just such a strange take that I'm going to roll with it. I love it.
Yeah, because you don't know the underbelly of society like I do.
I guess I don't. That he slipped them a note while sitting with his family saying, hey, on the sly, could you do me a favor and
It was a waitress, and again, I know of girls that have worked at strip clubs where there was a guy that would come in once a week to play Monopoly. And not even have the girl get naked, just play Monopoly. And then there was a guy, I've seen several times, guys asked to be kicked in the nuts. So I've seen, I shouldn't say several, I've seen it more than twice. Maybe three, maybe four, but that's the request.
Okay.
Wear high-heeled shoes and kick me in the nuts.
That's,
So the question is, without getting overly specific and not naming the place, things that you've seen, I don't think this is exactly where this is going, but...
things that you've seen requested.
It's not going to a place that I wanted to go, but nonetheless.
All right, but I
it's going to tainting food, which is not... I wanted to know of people's weird...
I don't think there's as much of that as you think there is.
Oh, Rich, there is so much more than you think.
Okay.
You are someone who's not scoured the internet for porn.
I've not seen the dark side of... Of that. The foot stuff's weird, but...
The foot stuff, though, is like, people were open about it. I mean, it was in Boomerang.
Sure. Well, the foot stuff, we worked with a guy who was obsessed with feet.
Yeah, Crash.
Yeah, NDA.
Well, he would argue with that, but, I mean, he did take pictures...
Right, we don't know if he's obsessed with feet. He did take pictures of people's feet when
they were in studio. I mean, you know, you can make... infer it. I mean, you know. Bill, go ahead.
So, I was at a certain strip club years back, and one of the strippers was saying she had a client that she would go to his house, he would want her to put him in a trash barrel, wheel him to the side of the road for a half an hour, then wheel him back up the driveway and take him out of the trash barrel.
What? Come on. Is there a name for that?
I have no idea, but it's 100% true.
Mentally unstable. That's
they call it, give me the Oscar. Give me the Grouch. Just throw me in the trash.
God, I could listen to these that all day.
Yeah, stuff's weird. I saw a movie
just
that could...
so delightful to me.
There was a movie that John Waters made. I think it was called A Low Down Dirty Shame, and it was about all of those things, and I couldn't finish it. Like, it was like the guys who like to dress up like babies and stuff. And like,
the baby thing is weird.
The baby thing, like, no, I just had to turn it off.
You've not been on the internet because the baby stuff is very weird.
I can't take it. That kind of stuff, no, I'm out. I am out on all that.
The baby stuff is disturbing. But the things like the random stuff, like throw me in the trash.
That's just odd.
Mm-hmm.
Then roll me down the street.
Yeah.
Then leave me there. That's your thing.
Only a half hour.
You gotta leave me at the curb.
Only a half an hour. I'm not a deviant.
That sounds awful.
Only one half of an hour. Am I to be at the curb in this trash bin? All right. Bobby, go ahead.
Good morning. I worked as a delivery driver. I used to have a route that had about 30, 32 restaurants, and a few of them were real small, you know, back hole, greasy spoon type places. And so I'm delivering on my route one time, and I see the cook, he's in an argument. Some guy is complaining about the food and the service out on the floor. And I'm just going about my business, and he says, I'll effing get him. And he takes the cheeseburger that he's making. He takes the bun to the cheeseburger and wipes it right around the edge of the trash barrel.
Oh, see, I thought this stuff just happened in movies. I think you really, you're back with the trash thing.
I want more of that. I'm the only one who thinks that that's great. Yeah, like, that weird stuff is just so funny to me.
That's true. You might be, yes.
I think you're alone.
You don't find that funny that a guy paid a girl to come to his house and throw him in the trash, wheel him to the curb for half an hour, and then wheel him back? I guarantee you.
I find it odd, but I don't find the delight in it that you do. No, I
don't. You don't find it funny?
I find it weird. I don't.
Well, that's why it's funny, stupid.
Okay.
Like the Three Stooges is like normal? Like everyone's absolutely like running around poking each other in the eye?
Give me Shemp. Absolutely.
Well, no one likes Shemp. All right. John, you cannot name the place, but you may name the person. This is all alleged. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I love the show. Obviously, I call in all the time. Listen, so I'm at a gentleman's club in the Rhode Island area some years back. A friend of mine was dating one of the dancers, so he goes, we go, we sit down. 5 minutes later, someone comes over and says, hey, you guys mind moving your seats? And I say, no. And then the guy, I'm like, why? Did we do something wrong? He's like, no, but we have a prominent person who's a frequent member here. You know, this is his area. He likes to sit here. And I said, well, who is it? And they go, move on. And I go, all right, cool. And I'm still not moving. So then move on comes over. He sits down next to us. He said, hey, you guys mind if I hang out with you? And I said, yeah, sure, go ahead. So he proceeds to buy drinks, and then he orders 150 wings.
Oh, yeah, you told us this story.
Oh, yeah. He just crushes wings the entire time. So yeah.
Has a big bucket up next to him, and he just goes to town.
That's just a guy who loves food. Kevin, go ahead.
All right, so I was at a strip club in upstate New York, and I was sitting at the bar off to the corner, so I wasn't really feeling that well. This old guy, like Mr. Magoo, comes in with a bag full of Friendly's ice cream, puts the bag out on the counter, puts his hand down, got two strippers, put scoops of ice cream on his hand. They eat the sundae off his hand. He shudders, throws down $300 and walks out.
I mean, that's just... That is just...
Okay, that's funny. That's really funny.
Yes.
That's good. I'll take that.
A Mr. Magoo-looking guy. That's right. It's Mr. Softy.
Yes, yes.
Magoo, you've done it again.
Please eat this ice cream out of my hands. It is worth $300. Plus ice cream. Can you imagine what he did with his hands before that?
Stop. Oh, stop.
Pete, go ahead.
What's going on, boys? I got something to talk at all today.
All right, Pete.
I used to run security for one of the MGM strip hotels. We used to have a whale come into town once in a while, and he would have us get the same working girl for him to come up there. Nothing sexual. He just wanted to...
That's like...
All right, you got to dump that.
Yeah.
That's the old Chuck Berry special.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, apparently Dave Chappelle was talking about that, and I was accused of hackery on my email. Because when Dave Chappelle was in town, he was talking about the Chuck Berry story. Mm. And to that I said, let's review my fantasy football name.
I don't know your fantasy football name. And
Chuck Berry's lunch.
Yeah, oh, my God. Just comes in with like two bites of Friendly's.
I know. I can't get that visual out of my head. It's the best.
You would think the girls would want to stay thin. Oh. All right. We will break. When we come back, Rich, we have something very special for the people. We have... We have Stephen A. Smith was featured in The New Yorker. We will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
I think it's going to be a challenge to get him without giving up, you know, multiple core pieces of your roster. I don't think a guy like Jason Tatum would be on the table, but might you be forced to give up a Terry Rozier to get him? Maybe. Might you be forced to give up that Sacramento Kings pick from next year? Maybe. It's, you know, when you're dealing with Greg Popovich, and more specifically in this case, R.C. Buford, you're talking about, you know, some of the very best to do their jobs. So I don't know that I think it's done on draft night, but, you know, Boston, they'll be in the mix as long as this lasts.
Couldn't get enough of the spitting in the burger thing.
So, yeah, Chris Mannix talked over the spitting in the burger story one more time, apparently, there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
all right. So Kawhi Leonard has been rumored to be going everywhere from the Celtics to the Knicks. He's said that the belief is no matter where he goes, he's ultimately going to go to Los Angeles when this is all said and done.
Well, I mean, yesterday was kind of the moment where you knew where everyone stands now. I mean, the cards were put on the table, and ESPN had a report about how Greg Popovich apparently went to Southern California to meet with Kawhi Leonard, and this is something they've been trying to do for a while, and they finally were able to connect. And according to
Leonard was purposely avoiding him.
I'm going to get into that here. It says, so from the article, they say that for weeks, Popovich has been working to set up a meeting with Leonard to discuss the issues that have fractured the franchise relationship with the All-NBA forward and caused him to make public and media desire to be traded. They said Leonard wants a trade to Los Angeles, preferably the Lakers over the Clippers. He also has privately maintained that he no longer wants to play in San Antonio and will eventually alert rival teams considering trades for him, that his intention is to sign in L.A. when he becomes a free agent in 2019. So just keep that in mind, that if for some reason Danny was to make a move and he wanted to come and they brought him to the Celtics, as of right now, his intention is, I don't care where I go this year, but I'm going to L.A. when it's all said and done, when my 1 year is over with. They said the Spurs are unlikely to be motivated to facilitate a deal to the Lakers. Leonard has told confidants that he did not want to sit down with Popovich, and he has been purposely difficult for the Spurs to reach recently. Among the issues, Leonard is angry over what he believes is the Spurs' mishandling of his quad injury, and he remains irate with the public comments from teammate Tony Parker and Greg Popovich that he felt were not supportive of him. The Spurs' official priority have been to try to talk to Leonard to work through the issues that has been communicated with the teams that have been seeking trade talks, although the Spurs have encouraged some rival team executives calling about Leonard to present an offer if they so choose. So basically they're saying, we'd like to keep him here. We'll listen to what you got. If you got something that we think is valuable enough, then he might be your guy. So far, the Spurs have been largely reluctant to give teams guidance on the players or packages that would interest them in trades, according to sources. So, okay, so here's what you have so far. Now you know that Kawhi Leonard is pissed, and he's pissed at Popovich, a guy that you would think that, you know, most people respect, and I don't think there's ever been a situation that I know of where Popovich hasn't been able to calm down a player and kind of have him buy into what the Spurs were selling. So this is kind of odd in the first place. So you got that personality-wise. Second of all, you have a player who is saying, I don't care where I end up, I'm going to be a Laker come free agency. I'm going to be going to L.A. as soon as this year's over with.
The reason for that is it's not just showtime. He went to, played high school basketball about an hour away from L.A. He went to San Diego State. He's a California kid.
All right. Does this change anything about your opinion of what Chris Mannix was saying in that clip where the Spitburger guy was being talked over? if you were to give up Jaylen Brown, I think he said maybe Terry Rozier you would put in there, and that Sacramento pick for a year of Kawhi Leonard, or at least getting him here for this year. Does that change your opinion at all that the Celtics should make that move if that ends up being the offer that's presented?
If it winds up being that little, no. It does not change.
See, I'm with you. It doesn't change that for me. Now, I read a bunch of stuff yesterday that everything about his personality says, what makes you think he's going to buy into the team here? What makes you think that he's actually going to, you know, play? He's had difficulties with Popovich. What makes you think that Brad Stevens could reach this guy? Red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag. And there's the quad injury thing. Now, I know a ton of people are saying that, you know, it's he's fine to play. However, I have to believe if
all
Danny
those
Ainge,
people are people who are associated with Leonard.
Understood. But if Danny Ainge is going to offer up someone like Jaylen Brown, you would have to think that he would do his due diligence to find out just how.
Oh, yeah.
So if he's going to make the trade, you would think that Danny would know the inside information on all this.
Yeah.
So to me, that doesn't change a thing, that report that came out yesterday. If that's your offer, if it's Jaylen Brown and it is the Terry Rozier and a pick, you absolutely do that. Rozier's going to be gone anyway after a year. I mean, you could re-sign him, but it's going to be for a lot of money. This way you get to keep Marcus Smart as well. And you've
painted yourself into a corner here with Kyrie Irving, though, if you make that deal.
What deal?
If you make that deal and you deal away Terry Rozier, who has shown that he can play as a point guard in this league, where he stands as far as starting point guards in a league is a matter of argument. But if you trade away Terry Rozier and you have Kyrie Irving for one more season, I mean, Marcus Smart is not your point guard for the next 5 years. You've kind of painted yourself into a corner.
Oh, please.
You have to re-sign Kyrie Irving. That's all.
I think everyone wants Kyrie Irving to be re-signed.
Guys over at... value players on this.
I'm not overvaluing anything. I'm
so
just
find another
fact.
Point guard.
That's all.
That's what I'm saying.
No, just go pick up a point guard.
I'm stating fact. That's all I'm doing. I'm not overvaluing anybody.
Yes, you are. You're saying that Rozier, by being gone, forces you to sign Kyrie Irving because it would be unbelievably difficult to find someone of the caliber of Rozier. Come on. That's a joke.
I'm saying a point guard on a championship caliber team. You have a lot of guys you want to sign Tatum to a max contract.
Well, Rozier is not a guy that's a point guard on a championship caliber team.
He's a backup point guard on a championship caliber team.
He's a good backup point guard. He's not anything special.
By the way, speaking of the Celtics and things like that, I maybe I'll pull some audio because I know it'll make you get angry. But last night I watched the Bill Simmons special that was called Courtside at the NBA Finals that he did for HBO.
Yeah, I'm courtside.
I know how much you love Bill Simmons.
I'm courtside, but my dad had season tickets.
But just think about the potential that this could have had to be great. It was an hour-long special about...
Only an hour?
It was an hour. I thought it was going to be more than that.
I would think that would be
the 3
Kevin Burns miniseries.
It was 7 days, and they made me cut it down.
It's going to be like the Thornbirds or something.
I think if we're following patterns, it would be...
That's right, the Thornbirds, based on a...
Rich man, poor man.
I'm making a miniseries based on my basketball book. It's going to be 3 years long.
So I'm like, okay. So he's a guy who worked for ESPN and has the power of HBO, and it's called Courtside at the NBA Finals. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't wait to see when they have a clip from game one after J.R. Smith bungles the entire thing.
Sure.
The audio behind the scenes. Maybe there was a camera behind the bench where you get an extra inside look. Maybe they go into the locker room and they follow it in there and you get to see LeBron James actually punch that white board. Like, there's got to be something. Dude, there was none of that.
HBO gave me a phone.
You know what it was? It was highlights of the games set to dramatic music and then him talking to John Hamm after game one.
What?
John Hamm's a St. Louis fan.
So, LeBron was crazy, man. I can't believe they lost.
Yeah, it was like, I tell you what, I've never seen anything like that. And a team's to lose.
Yeah, I mean, one
like
time I saw, you know, like...
It was like Omar.
Yeah. I was like, you wasted such an opportunity for that moment. Just at that point, if you had any kind of inside audio or video... Just from after game one.
He has no access. HBO probably gave him 15 cents. They probably gave him tickets to go to the event. You don't think you think HBO's handing him money?
Fred, it was highlights, and then it was him in a hotel room talking to Andy Samberg about game two. And you're like, why do I want to see this?
Because they're...
It was like, well, man, I tell you what, LeBron's just, it was 51 points. That was crazy. I'm like, yeah, man, crazy. And then it would go to another highlight. Like, we learned nothing here. There's, like, no insight.
Famous friends.
I mean, that's kind of what it was.
Yeah.
But it was fairly infuriating to watch. But either way, now the Cavaliers, speaking of that, I don't know what kind of value they think that they have in their players, other than Kevin Love. But so they've contacted the Spurs about a trade for Kawhi Leonard, according to reports. And then apparently they're saying that they're going to make a second move to get Kemba Walker to play for the Cavs. All of those players, like Kawhi Leonard and Kemba Walker, have 1 year left. And so if LeBron stays with the Cavaliers, his whole plan would be I'll sign for one more year. Me, Kawhi, and Kemba Walker would kind of make our one last stand here, a one-year deal.
You know, honestly, I think that's LeBron's plan moving forward anyway. He's turned himself into a mercenary from here on out. I mean, do you really think he's going to sign more than 1 year with any team he goes to?
And Paul George apparently is going to be staying with Oklahoma City.
It's a one and done, a one with a player option. He's going to play 1 year and see what it is, see what the situation is wherever he is, and then do this all over again.
What the hell do you trade to get Kemba Walker for Charlotte? Like, well, what do you have? If you have to make a trade for Kawhi Leonard, what do you have left to get Kemba Walker?
That's going to start with the eight and Kevin Love to get Kawhi Leonard. Then you have nothing left.
All right, we're going to have to break, and we can continue this discussion if you would like. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
I just thought that those were...
.985 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, that is Bird, talking about the foibles of what's going on in soccer.
I just thought that those were...
Yeah, he thought the umbrella of the UK, including Ireland, was the crown, as he called it. It was very difficult. I wonder if there are bars open now so people can go and pretend to like Portugal. On Friday, I went out for lunch, and then a bunch of kids came into the restaurant to watch Portugal because they're massive fans of Portugal.
Is there a Portuguese bar in Boston?
No.
That might be open?
No, maybe now.
Well, we don't know.
At 8 o'clock, you can pour, right? 8 a.m.?
Yeah. So, you know, if you love Ronaldo,
mm-hmm.
And if you're a kid now where it's acceptable to walk around wearing soccer jerseys... Because that's all that happens now, is everyone's got a soccer jersey on.
Yep.
I honestly couldn't tell you if my high school had a soccer team. And I'm not being cute.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I've no idea if North Farmington had a soccer team when I was there.
Oh, the reason I knew we had one is that all the players were easily identifiable by they all had the same haircut.
The butt cut?
It was the butt cut. It was like that 90s butt cut. They kind of flopped down on the side. It was... One of the dudes from Party of Five, I think, had that.
Yeah.
Matthew Fox was rocking
No,
that.
I don't think it was Matthew. Yeah, maybe it was Matthew Fox. The one who wasn't in Lost. The other one.
Oh, Scott
Wolf. I think Scott Wolf had, like, the butt cut.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, that was the official soccer cut. It was called a soccer cut. It was shaved on the side with a butt cut in the front.
At Rollins, a lot of guys rocked the butt cut because soccer was, you know, we didn't have football or anything. And did I watch 1 second of soccer? No, but there was fraternity brothers of mine that were on the soccer team. But I honestly couldn't, in suburban Detroit in the 90s, early 90s, I could not tell you I honestly, with a hand on the Bible, could not tell you if there was a soccer team or not at my school.
Really?
Yeah, because no one, you didn't play. Like, no one played soccer. You didn't grow up playing soccer. You didn't play soccer when you were two.
Well, sure as hell isn't what it is now. I mean, now it's everything.
No,
I mean,
you're pretending to like Portugal. You're, like, running around, like, liking a place you've never been or have no connection to. That's what's going on now. It's very disturbing that you're allowed to walk around with a soccer jersey.
A lot of messy jerseys.
Well, of course. A lot of Ronaldo jerseys.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is Ray Hudson doing any of these?
See, I thought it's interesting you bring this up. I thought I heard him calling a game on FS1.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not sure about this at all, but I heard it and I thought it was him.
I mean, come on.
You would know if it was him. You would know immediately if it was him.
Him calling a Messi game is just
Thiago. Messi.
Oh.
Astonishing, jaw-dropping genius from Lionel. Watch this hesitation right there. Three players inside a telephone box, and he don't care. He emasculates them individually, collectively. He literally disperses his atoms inside of his body on one side of this defender, and then collects them on the other. Magisterial, Lionel. Magnifico. Extraordinario. Barcelona bounce back. Messi leading the way with his brilliant Blaugrana flag. It is on fire, and he sticks it into the hearts of Athletic Club.
I mean, he's the best.
No, and the best part about that is he's in Miami.
watching it on a television set. Yeah. Right, like a little tiny monitor.
In a small studio.
Oh, that poor guy. Doesn't it never gets to go to these games.
Nick, go ahead.
Hey, I got to tell you, every bar at Fall River is open tonight for the game. Portuguese person is sitting outside smoking cigarettes already, getting ready for Ronaldo to score another hat trick.
All right. Well, if you're in a bar right now, if you're at a bar, or you're heading to a bar right now. Call me if you're in a packed bar, because I can't believe
call,
that. At 8
did you
o'clock
say call
morning,
me?
Yeah, well, give us 617-779-0985.
Who cares if they're at a bar?
Because I find it extremely strange that at 8 o'clock in the morning there would be an absolutely
it's
packed
a sporting
bar.
Event. I mean, people go and do it.
Yeah, but at 8 a.m. it's
so
it would
people
be
opening day for no, it's not.
I thought you just said that nobody would be doing it.
No, I didn't. I said that that people pretend to like Portugal was the point of my whole thing. Not if you're at a bar at 8. Who cares if you're at a bar at 8? I mean, O'Brien's at a bar at 8 every opening day. He's waiting in line in front of one of those bars every day, every opening day.
Yep, they just opened up the taps. 8 o'clock, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's 8.
Okay.